Welcome to Transition, Gadget 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about some game that nobody's angry about and everyone's really, really happy about. It's a game called Diablo Immortal, which is a new Diablo mobile game. Now, I think before this event happened, which is BlizzCon 2018, where this game was announced, I think a bunch of people on the internet were expecting something around the PC and console space because of the marketing materials that Blizzard put out there, even though they never actually said that a Diablo game is going to be coming to PC or consoles. So people got angry because it was a mobile game, which I find funny, but then, you know, we have a couple of people here to talk about and talk about this thing, and they will be elaborating more on this. So first up, games editor Rishi Albani is here, straight coming to you from BlizzCon 2018.
Yeah, good morning, evening, night, wherever you are, and we apologize in advance for the sound quality. This isn't exactly the most ideal of situations, but we're going to try to make the most of it because we have a lot to talk about. And we also have friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani.
Yes, here. Sounding a little weird, but there's another company to blame for that.
Okay, cool then, and I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, I think maybe we want to first talk about Diablo Immortal and what it is. My question is it the, like that EA's Command & Conquer mobile game, which, you know, looked rather strange and like was a completely different game from what Command & Conquer has been traditionally, or is it more like an extension of Diablo but now on mobiles?
So there's a lot to unpack with your question first. Let me break it down from the very basics. The EA Command & Conquer game is a travesty by any stretch of imagination for those who are fans of Command & Conquer and those who aren't. In general, it's a travesty. What we have with Diablo Immortal is, more than the game itself, is Blizzard's own pre-hype surrounding it. Let's get into that first before I explain to you what Diablo Immortal is. So, prior to BlizzCon 2018, BlizzCon is Blizzard's yearly convention for its games like Overwatch, Diablo, World of Warcraft, and the like. So, prior to BlizzCon 2018, there was some hype around the Diablo series, and Blizzard said they had multiple Diablo projects in the works. There were rumors of a Netflix series, there were suggestions that we could see Diablo 4, and there were very, very strong rumors of Diablo 2 being remastered. All of this stemmed from the fact that Blizzard was obviously being a bit vague on what you can expect, and also stemmed from the fact that in the week leading up to BlizzCon, Blizzard released a few videos for those who have the BlizzCon Virtual Pass. The Virtual Pass gives you access to all the developer panels that happen at BlizzCon. So they released some promo videos for holders of the Virtual Pass that had Diablo 2 music and featured staff that worked on Diablo 3. And who are actually pretty senior in the company, someone like Wyatt Cheng, who's been around and was essentially one of the spokespeople for Diablo 3. He was the principal game designer for that game. So there were a lot of hints suggesting that we could see something like a Diablo 2, or we could see something like a brand new game in the franchise. But what we got instead was, well, Diablo Immortal. Now, that's part of the reason for the outrage. That the expectation was that we'd get a fully fledged, brand new, full fat Diablo experience. But what people saw instead was Diablo Immortal, which was a game on mobile. Now, that's where the problem lies. The problem lies is mobile gaming as a whole has got such a bad reputation amongst the quote unquote hardcore gamers that it's become kind of a dirty word. And it's kind of tragic because Diablo Immortal is perhaps the best Diablo game I have played in a very, very, very long time. So it's essentially a mobile game that's made in collaboration with NetEase. NetEase are the guys who made Rules of Survival and a bunch of other PUBG clones. But what they have here is a surprisingly polished game. And it takes place between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3 in the 20 years between those two games. So there's a lot of lore and a lot of cool stuff that can happen. Now, so coming back into answer your question, no, it's nothing like Command & Conquer at all.
So I think most of the outrage is because they ended BlizzCon on this. Like, they had some really good announcements, like Warcraft 3 Reforged, which we'll get to in a bit. But just, you know, after announcing that we have multiple Diablo projects in the work, one of them turned out to be Diablo 3 on Switch. But one of them is obviously Diablo Immortal. And they're obviously going to be working on Diablo 4 or something because, like, come on, like, you have, like, one of the best-selling PC games of all time. Of course, you're going to do a follow-up to it. I think what they should have done is they should have followed this up with just, like, a logo or something. Because Microsoft did the same thing with Gears of War 4.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. Though, I mean, speaking to some journalists after at the end of the announcement, a lot of them felt that this wasn't a game you announce at BlizzCon. This is something you do at a place like ChinaJoy. And I kind of agree with that. I mean, this isn't something you want to show to the, you know, the dyed-in-wool hardcore Blizzard fan. The outrage was so palpable that during the developer panel for Diablo Immortal, there was basically stunned silence from the entire room there. And on the second day of BlizzCon, when they were discussing the world of Diablo and you know how and its inspirations, Wyatt Cheng actually had to start it by saying that there are multiple Diablo projects in the works and you don't have to worry about it. We're taking care of the fans. He actually had to preface it with that. And all of it is a bit tragic because the game is actually very good.
Hmm. Okay. So, you know, I did see some gameplay videos of that. But how does it work? Like, I know that it's an always online game, but I don't know anything about it beyond that.
So it's pretty simple. It uses the very basic mobile touchscreen mechanics you everyone knows and loves. You can tap, swipe, and hold. And those are the three ways you essentially control your moves. The left side of the screen has a D-pad an analog stick, a virtual analog stick that you can use to move your character. And it works. It just works. The combat feels responsive. The movement feels fluid. All of it just comes together in a fashion that you can't believe you're playing it on a mobile phone. It's got that level of authenticity to it. And it isn't just in the movement. Even the sound feels crunchy. It feels good. It feels as if you are playing a Diablo game on console or PC. So they've done a really, really good job in bringing the experience to a small screen. That being said, there are some concerns. For one, obviously it would look good and play good because it was being played on a Note 9. And the Note 9, at least the American version of the Note 9, has a Snapdragon 845 and at least 6 gigs of RAM, if not 8. Plus, it's got that lovely Samsung OLED display that makes everything pop. So yeah, obviously it would look good and play well. We also don't know how much of the game would be in terms of overheating, how much of an overheat would be on mid-range devices, because again, the Note 9 has a beefier cooling solution compared to most other smartphones. So these are some of the other unknowns we won't have an idea of just yet. Plus, we don't know how inventory management would work. The inventory menus were cordoned off in the demo, so you don't know how much space you have, whether you can trade inventory. We don't even know how stuff like transmogrification, which would make other items, other pieces of your gear match with what you currently have. We don't know how any of that's going to work. There's no telling what Blizzard's going to do here and what's going to happen. So, and the thing is, the company has experimented with almost every microtransaction out there. Hearthstone has its expansions. Overwatch has its skins through loot boxes and a la carte purchases. Then we have World of Warcraft that has the monthly subscription plus in-game purchases. And they've basically experimented with, and Heroes of the Storm has new heroes which you can purchase, right? So each of their games follows very different approaches to monetization. So we don't know what they're going to go with here, and that to me is a big point of concern. I'm not worried about stuff like the download size. I'm not worried about stuff like how it controls and how it plays, because it plays fantastic. I'm worried about what's going to happen when they decide to make it go live and how they're going to make you pay for it.
It's definitely not going to be a premium game, because I think the thing what they're going to do is it's going to be free to play for sure, just to get as many people as possible into the game. But it remains to be seen on whether it'll have the Blizzard polish which we're used to. And whether it just might end up being one more of those NetEase clones which, like, people talk about for a bit and then they forget about eventually.
Yeah, but we have actually seen Blizzard, whenever they make a game, they make a good game.
But then they aren't making this right now, right? It's being made by NetEase and Blizzard's probably overseeing it. I'm sure it's going to be, like, at a higher level of polish than NetEase's other stuff, but right now, there's just too much unknown. So we're going to have to see. I'm not really worried about the performance and visuals, at least on iOS, because like it's like iOS devices will probably run this fine. As for low-end Android devices, yeah, like that we'll need to see how things are.
Yeah, this could end up being like Fortnite where you know, even 4GB of RAM is not enough. But you know, knowing Blizzard, they'll probably get the optimization thing right. And also there were some reports that we saw like floating around, not sure how credible, but maybe more Blizzard games will come to mobile. I don't know, what do you guys think?
So the interview specifically talks about how they decided to go with Diablo on mobile and how long Diablo Immortal has been on their minds and stuff like that. But then they did say, and I quote, "I can say without getting overly specific, we have big plans for the mobile space. It's a big initiative for us across Blizzard, and you can expect to see more mobile titles from us spanning all of our IPs at some point in the future." So yeah, basically this, they've done a lot of interviews already around this, and I still stand by what I said, where a lot of the backlash would have, obviously, like, you know, there are people who don't want to play stuff on mobile, that's fine. But the fact that these people actually think that Blizzard doing Diablo Immortal is somehow taking resources away from Diablo 4 or another mainline Diablo entry, like, that's pretty baffling, because come on, like, every big publisher is doing something in mobile. And Diablo is not like, you know, Command and Conquer, which is basically a dead IP at this point, sadly. Diablo is Diablo. Like, it's selling like mad on Switch right now. It's doing super well in general across the board. But yeah, they should have said something about Diablo 4. Even if it's too early, like, look at every other publisher. Sony announces stuff years in advance. Even Nintendo, they just showed a Metroid Prime 4 logo. Everyone clapped. That's it. We haven't seen anything since then. Even Bayonetta 3, it doesn't even have a release year. People are still, yes, I bought a Switch for Bayonetta 3 and all. So yeah, they should have done that. And it is, it was a bad read of the audience, because you can't end BlizzCon on a title which is, like, you know, Hearthstone as such is basically a mobile tablet game, which is also on PCs. But because it launched on PCs, I feel like it, like, has no outrage and stuff like that. And Hearthstone is really good. At least it was excellent at launch and stuff like that. This, they should have either announced it for everything, or they should have ended with Diablo 4 saying, you know, that's also something which we're working on. Doing it like this kind of like, it's like a bad read of the audience.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with them teasing Diablo 4 simply because this is a company that announced Diablo 3 in 2008. And only shipped it in 2012, 2013. And shipped it in 2012. It was only playable in 2013. So no, I think it they could do without the theatrics of announcing a game that's not going to see the light of day. Because at least they're learning from the mistakes they made in the past, right? I mean, if you look at the last big new game they announced, that was Overwatch. It was announced in 2014, and it actually shipped in 2 years, a year and a half later it shipped. So my point is, why I don't think it's a good idea just to announce a game and just sit on it. They don't have to do that anyway. It's not like they have to worry about, it's not like they have the investor pressure as such, because their games are insanely profitable anyway. So why even bother doing that? That just sets expectations up for something that's not going to show up. I don't think it's even a bad read of the audience. I just think it's a question of the audience not growing up or understanding that, you know, just because there's a game just because there's a Diablo game coming, doesn't mean that there's no other Diablo game ever coming out on any other platform. I think, one, the audience needs to mature, and if at all, Blizzard should have just announced it at an event that wasn't BlizzCon. But I don't think announcing a Diablo 4 would have been a good idea by any stretch of imagination.
It would have still at least, you know, ended on a better note, I'd say, because there are too many unknowns right now for Diablo Immortal. Maybe, like, you know, I forget Diablo 4. Even if they had this in the middle and they ended with Warcraft 3 Reforged, I think that would have been a better deal, because that actually looks really good. And, like, everyone is happy with that. It got a standing ovation also. Like, I was watching the opening ceremony live, while Diablo Immortal just left, like, the audience confused. Now, I agree with you that, you know, the audience should, like, mature and, like, you know, at least that part of the audience, not all of them or whatever. But, yeah, like, they should expect these things, and companies are going to do mobile games. Nintendo is also doing it. Like, did anyone think Super Mario Run would mean there wouldn't be another Mario game? No, right? That's just how these things are. We've been playing Diablo 3 on Switch already. It plays really well on a smaller screen. This, like, I haven't played it. You have already. You can read your, like, we can read your impressions on Gadgets 360. But like Diablo as such can be adapted gameplay wise. The only thing is, you know, the auction house, the bad things about Diablo, error, what is it, error 37 or something?
Error 37.
So yeah, these things can show their face again over here because this is always online, right? Or is it not?
Yeah, it's always online.
Yeah, so these are the problems to worry about, not, you know, like it's just Diablo on mobile or whatever. So, and there is Diablo 4. I still think they should have just said that Diablo 4 is a thing or whatever. But yeah, like they definitely seem to be moving away from the make all the announcements at BlizzCon type thing and like, you know, be quiet for the rest of the year because they do announce stuff during the year as well now.
Yeah, true. But then, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, long story short, it just could have been handled better from all sides. Anyway, on to more interesting topics of discussion. Aside from playing Diablo Immortal at BlizzCon, we also managed to get some FaceTime with some of the developers on games like Hearthstone, Warcraft 3 Reforged, and Overwatch. And I think we'll start with Hearthstone first. So we managed to get an interview with Dean Ayala, who's one of the leads on Hearthstone. He said that we can expect more single-player content in Hearthstone in the months to come. They're just ramping up their efforts on single-player content. They know they want to go back into the classic storytelling single-player modes that was there in back in the days of Naxxramas. So they're definitely looking to ramp that up to a large degree. The reason why it's taken them this long to do this is because when Hearthstone launched, it had all of, I think, 4 people working on design. And then after that, the focus was ensuring the competitive multiplayer stuff was done properly. So now they're in a good place to focus more on the single player content. And while they don't have anything to announce right now, expect more of it in the months to come.
All right. So what else did you see that was of interest at BlizzCon?
Yeah, so then other stuff of interest at BlizzCon was what's happening with Warcraft 3 Reforged. So the developers behind that, a good part of the team working on it were the developers who also worked on the original game. So they're in the process of nailing down the exact number of assets the game has. At the last count, is close to 4,000 assets that needed to be repolished and worked on. The entire tool chain for development has changed. Earlier, they were using, I think, Maya 3D Max or Maya 3D, and they're going from one or the other. I'm not sure which one. That's an interesting development there. So unlike StarCraft, where it was just a 1:1 cleaner version of the original game, the focus here is to make a sharper, more pristine, modern retelling of Warcraft 3. What's interesting here is there is going to be some retcon of the story to match with the events of World of Warcraft. That's also going to be a thing. I asked the developers if they had any interesting anecdotes because with StarCraft Remaster's development, they actually had a fan who sent them the Gold Master because Blizzard didn't have the Gold Master. So a fan actually had to send it to them. So that they could do work on the game because they didn't have the original code. So with Warcraft 3 Reforged, they don't have to worry about that, thankfully. And a lot of the old team who's there is still working on it. So the netcode is done by a guy called Jay. Jay is still around. If there's an issue with the code or if the math doesn't work, he just gets in and fixes that. So it seems to be in a better place. And that's definitely going to be one to look out for when that hits next year. And that aside, I managed to get some FaceTime with Chaco Sonny, who's the production director for Overwatch. And it was basically he had some interesting insights around the game right now. So for one, the most popular events in Overwatch tend to be the ones that focus around the in-game lore. So stuff like Uprising and Retribution do really, really well in terms of bringing players back. There are no plans for them to look at different monetization options. They're happy sticking with the a la carte system for the esports stuff and the loot box system for skins and effects and stuff like that. And one interesting thing he did mention was that so I did ask him, like, okay, you guys have a new character in Ashe, which is, you know, seems like an interesting way to play. But what happens when her sidekick Bob, when he's brought into Overwatch, does her ultimate change? Because her ultimate in the game summons Bob, which is this giant robot that fires cannons from his arms. So he did say in that hypothetical situation, if Bob is brought into Overwatch, Ash's ultimate will have to change. So yeah, expect a rework of Ash in the event they decide to bring Bob into Overwatch.
Okay. Mike, anything else you saw at BlizzCon that caught your eye?
So it was interesting that they actually did an original hero for Heroes of the Storm. So the cinematic and the short over there and some of the abilities they introduced looked interesting. I might like give it another go just to try out the new hero. Other than that, the Overwatch stuff was really, really good. Like, they keep nailing the cinematic, like the animated shorts they do for Overwatch. And every time I see one of them, I'm like, we need an Overwatch movie. So, and being done in-house by Blizzard, not by another company. But like, yeah, not like the Warcraft movie.
Oh yeah, it's interesting you bring up Warcraft, because I did manage to speak to the story franchise development team for Blizzard, and they did say that any movie plans they have usually involve third parties like the people they collaborated with for Warcraft. And they have plans in the works, though they obviously can't say what right now because nothing's been signed yet. And yeah, coming back to Heroes of the Storm, I also did get some FaceTime with one of the lead designers, Matthew Cooper. And a long story short, expect a lot more original content in Heroes of the Storm in the months to come. Orphea was, you know, just one, but then there's going to be more.
All right, so I think we should talk about the games we've been playing this week now. Rishi, clearly you've not been playing anything, so just chuck it.
Nope, I've been playing quite a bit.
Okay, go for it then.
I played Xiaomi's survival game. Yeah, Xiaomi has a battle royale game called Survival Game. And It is bad. It is bad and they should feel bad. It is just horrible.
That a game by Xiaomi called Survival Game is a bad game.
It is so bad.
I expected it to be like PUBG, man.
It's worse. So, like, let me put it this way. It's like Baby's first battle royale game. They've just taken stock store assets of PUBG and they've put characters from Overwatch and vehicles from Halo. It is derivative and it is bad. And wait, that's not the worst part. Every gun feels the same. Be it an Uzi, be it an MP5, be it a shotgun, be it a sniper rifle, they all fire like lasers. They all feel like lasers. And there's nothing different between any of them. There is no recoil. There's nothing. It is bad. And they should feel bad. And this isn't a beta that they're telling people to check out. This is, hey, we don't know how to make a game, so please fix this for us because we're Xiaomi. So no, do not. Like, it is just bad. So I was playing that, and I played a bit of Diablo Immortal at BlizzCon. I checked out Ash, which is Overwatch's new hero as well. That was pretty interesting. It requires a bit of a higher skill ceiling because your aim has to be really precise. But yeah, basically that.
Okay, so Mikhail Madnani.
So been playing a lot of random stuff, mostly Red Dead Redemption 2. Finally started properly playing that on Xbox One X. Yes, that's also a thing now for me now. Been playing it very differently than I do GTA 5. But now after like getting a bit of money and like understanding the controls, which are pretty terrible initially, I'm finally like having a lot of fun with it. So besides that, been playing Forza Horizon 1. Because, like, wanted to see how the Xbox One X patch was. And it actually looks really, really good. Almost as good as Forza Horizon 3, in fact, on the Xbox One X. And also been, like, booting up random games to check out Xbox One X enhancements and all. No Man's Sky runs a lot better than it does on the PS4 Pro, which is good. Because, like, as you all know, I really love that game. Booted up Hitman Season 1 as well, just to, like, check it out. And pretty good, like, still really good. Looking forward to Hitman 2.
Okay, all right. That's all we have for this episode of Transition. We will see you with another episode next week. As always, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can also go to one of these fancy apps where you listen to your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone and Google Podcasts on your Android phone, and rate us, review us, and subscribe to this podcast. These things help us a lot. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Olai Paulsen, whose album PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you with another episode of Transition next week.